Chapter 15. The Savannah. We waited 6 days at the edge of the savannah. Twice, bands of dark-skinned warriors came to look us over. The first time, Huizar told us,
"Don't let them lure you off the road."
He said it to One Eye, not knowing that I had picked up enough of the chatter to follow what they said. I have a fair gift for tongues. Most of us old hands do. We have to learn so many. "What road?" One Eye demanded. "That cow path?" He indicated a track that meandered into the distance.
"Whatever is between the white stones is the road. The road is holy. As long as you stay on it, you'll be safe."
On first pitching camp, we were warned not to leave a circle circumscribed by white stones. I guessed the significance of the lines of white stones running southward. Trade would demand sheltered routes, though little trade seemed to be moving these days. Seldom had we encountered any sizable caravan heading north since leaving the Empire. We saw no one headed south, except perhaps a walking stump. Huizar continued,
"Beware the plains peoples, anyway. They are treacherous. They will employ every blandishment and deceit imaginable to draw you outside. Their women are especially notorious. Remember, they are always watching. To leave the road is death."
Lady was intensely interested in the discussion. She understood, too. And Goblin cracked.
"You're dead, Maggot Lips."
"What?"
One Eye squeaked.
"The first set of sweet hips that shakes your way will lead you right off to the cannibals' cookpots."
"They aren't cannibals."
Sudden panic tautened One Eye's face. It took him that long to realize that Goblin had understood him while he was talking with Huizar. He looked at the rest of us. Some of us gave ourselves away. He looked that much more distraught. He whispered to Huizar with great animation. Huizar cackled. His laugh seemed half chicken cluck, half peacock call. It cost him a coughing fit. It was a bad one. One Eye beckoned me.
"You're sure you can't do something for this guy, Croaker? He busts a lung and dies. We're hurting."
"Nothing. He shouldn't be traipsing around to begin with." No point singing that song. Huizar refused to hear it.
"You or Goblin ought to be able to do him more good than I can."
"You can't help a guy who won't let you."
"Ain't it the truth?" I said, looking him straight in the eye.
"How long before we get us some guides?"
"All I hear is soon," when I ask. Soon indeed. A pair of tall black men came up the road at a steady, hardy trot. They were the sleekest, healthiest specimens I had seen in a long time. Each carried a sheaf of javelins across his back, a short-hafted, long-bladed spear in his right hand, and a shield of some white and black striped hide upon his left arm. Their limbs moved in perfect cadence, as though each man was half of some marvelous, rhythmic machine. I glanced at Lady. No thoughts were evident on her face.
"They would make grand soldiers," she said.
The two trotted straight to Huizar, feigning a vast indifference to the rest of us. But I felt them studying us sidelong. White people had to be rare this side of the jungle. They barked at Huizar in an arrogant tongue filled with clicks and stops. Huizar did some heavy kowtowing. He responded in the same language, whining like a slave.